Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sports Ethos presentation. We bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. Three times a week, every Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we recap and preview all the action and cover all the news surrounding the competition. Join us on this ride and learn more about some of the best basketball played in the world. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. My name is André and this is my co-host Diouk Valente. How are you doing? I know I couldn't be any happier having EuroLeague doubleheader this week to cover.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm excited to see this doubleheader. A lot of important games. So let's get to it.
On this episode, we will be previewing all the 9 games from round 28, the second half of this doubleheader week. These games will be happening Thursday and Friday. And for full disclosure, we are recording this preview on Tuesday evening in order to be able to get it out for you guys to listen it ahead of all the games. So we want to be aware of what is happening on the round 27 games. And we will be previewing of what we expect to see happening on the games happening on Thursday and Friday. Let's start as we always do by catching up with all the news that came out regarding the competition. We just had news breaking that Jalen Adams from Maccabi will be missing the rest of the season with a shoulder injury. The other big news that came out was that Gudurić extended his contract for 3 more seasons with Fenerbahce. Gudurić is having a great season, ranking 2nd in PER for the team behind only Motley. Gudurić is a 6'6", 196 centimeters, shooting guard, small forward, player from Serbia. He's averaging 12.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.4 assists, and 1 steal per game. Diouk, what is your breakdown of Gudurić as a player, and how do you like this extension for the Fenerbahce future?
I like it a lot. Based on the team they have and some of the players that they have on contract, they just signed Tyler Dorsey until 2025, I think. So I think this is a very important move for them. Gudurić is a very good player. He spent some time in the NBA, so he has that experience. He's a very good shooter. He can play make, he can facilitate, and he can drive, especially left. So I like his game a lot, and I think he complements what Itudis and Fenerbahce wants to do.
He has been a great fit for them, and it's always good to see teams building and thinking about the future and trying to keep their core players together. He's having a good season and looking forward to see him building from where he is right now. So let's move on and let's start previewing the round 28 games. On Thursday, we start with a match between Alba and Virtus. Alba is last in the standings, but after Lowe's return, they revamped their season with 2 good performances in Serbia, beating Red Star and having a high-level first half against Partizan on the last round before this doubleheader. Virtus ranks 12 with a 12 wins and 14 losses record and still dreams with the playoffs. This makes this matchup a must-win for them. On Virtus' last 5 games heading into this doubleheader, they won 3 and lost 2. They were able to beat 2 teams that are below them on the standings in Red Star and Asphalt and had an important home win against Baskonia. They lost against Barcelona and Fenerbahce by significant margins. When these 2 teams last met back in December, Virtus got the win 85-76, with Kyle Wims being named the game MVP, while one of Thiago's favorites, Sigma, was the best player for Alba. How do you see this one unrolling, Diogo?
I think Alba has a chance to get a win here. Virtus hasn't been a very good team on the road, and like you said, Alba has been playing better since Modolo has returned. According to their record, Alba is not the best home team. So the fact that Virtus is not a great road team may not mean much, but the fact is that they didn't have Low for a lot of those games, and he's such a big part of that team. So I think Alba has a chance here to put Virtus away for that playoff hunt. I think this is a must-win game for Virtus, because if they lose it, they're going to fall back in the standings, because the other teams are getting some wins now, especially Efes, that has hit some momentum lately. So I think this is a very important game, but I think Alba is going to be able to get the win.
I fully understand your position, but I'm curious on knowing why are you kind of high in the end of the season for Alba? You had just picked them as having a chance to beat Žalgiris on round 27, and now you are picking them as having a chance to beat Virtus on round 28. I also agree with you that there is a chance and that they might be able to do it. But what makes you confident that they will be able to get these somewhat surprising wins against teams fighting for the playoffs?
Yeah, like we said already, they've been playing well lately, and I just think Žalgiris and Virtus are two teams that struggle a lot on the road. So it's just a good feeling. I just think Alba really has a chance to win these games. I mean, obviously, it's possible or likely that they are not going to win both, but I feel confident in saying that they're going to win this game.
I feel you. I understand. They are playing a good basketball. They have a very good transition offensive game going on. And since Lowe came, you saw that team being revamped and starting to play at a much better level. They are being able to put up a fight even with teams that supposedly are above their level playing at home. I would agree with you that they have a good chance to surprise at least one of these teams. But let's move on to Kaunas. Speak about the team we just spoke about, Žalgiris. They will be receiving ASVEL on this round 28. Žalgiris still have a legit playoff aspirations the rest of the way, and they are aiming to get there. And after the two blowout losses against Real and Barcelona that they just had on the road, they need to bounce back in this doubleheader to be able to stay in the contention for the playoffs. Žalgiris, with 9-3 record at home, has one of the best home courts in the competition. And behind their crowd, I would have them as favorites in this matchup against ASVEL. In November, when these two teams met, Žalgiris got the road win 76-93 behind a great performance from Tomas Dimša with 21 points, shooting 5 of 6 from 3. Do you expect them to win again this time around?
Yeah, I don't see a way where ASVEL can steal this one. I think Žalgiris is aware that they need to win games, especially after losing back-to-back in Spain. I think it's a good matchup for them now to have after those losses, because it's a good way for them to bounce back. I think at home, the crowd is going to be with a lot of energy, and I think they're going to be able to feed off that crowd and have a good performance at home, and hopefully for them to stay in this playoff hunt. So I think Žalgiris wins this one.
I'm also favoring them, and I think they have a good chance to beat ASVEL at home. Which matchups are you looking at? And hopefully we are not picking anybody that suffers an injury on the first hand of this doubleheader. I see ASVEL having very good guards and Žalgiris having very good wings. We already picked Žalgiris to win this game, but is there some matchups of players that might be facing each other on this game that you will be paying special attention to?
Yeah, I think Brezdekic is going to play the two with Ulanovas at the three. So for that two guard matchup, I have Brezdekic and Nando Di Colo. Because I think Dibost and Isaiah Taylor are going to be matched up, and that's also going to be an interesting one. But I think Nando Colo and Brzdekis could be the best matchup in this game.
I'm curious to see how ASVEL will be dealing with size of Žalgiris' wings on this game. That will be
something to be tracking
and to be watching it. The next game on the docket is Olympiacos against Bayern. Two different stories heading into this doubleheader week, with Bayern breaking a four-game losing streak at home, beating Red Star 87-80. Olympiacos, on the other hand, had a surprising 21-point loss on the road against Milano that broke their seven-game winning streak. Last time these two teams met back in November, Olympiacos got the 11-point road win behind the always impressive Sasha Vzenkov with 20 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. I expect that at home, Olympiacos will dominate this matchup. Do you agree with me?
I don't know if they're going to dominate it, but I do think they will win. Bayern has been playing better. I think it could be a tough game, but I do think Olympiacos is going to win at home after playing Barcelona, which could go. It's a game that could go either way. So I think that they're going to try to dominate Bayern, like you said. I just don't know if they're going to be capable of that, because Bayern is a good team. So I think it could be a good game, but I do think Olympiacos is winning this one, for sure.
I agree with you on that. And for me, I just think that despite Bayern being a very physical team and trying to slow down the pace of the game and trying to dominate the game with their physicality, that's a style where Olympiacos is able to thrive, and especially where Vzenkov is able to thrive. And I don't see them having a match for him and for the power of Olympiacos. And I think Olympiacos will be able to control the pace of this game. I think they will be extremely motivating for both games of this doubleheader after their disappointing loss on the road because of the way that they lost it. So I'm certain that Olympiacos will be extra motivated for this game. But let's move on for the game of the team that beat Olympiacos on the last round, Milano, where the home team will be receiving Partizan. Partizan is in 6th place with 14 wins and 12 losses, with Milano in 14th place with one game less, with 10 wins and 15 losses. On our previous episode, when previewing the playoff battle, we went over the hard schedule that Partizan has the rest of the way, placing them as the likely 8th seed once the regular season is done. This makes this game a very important game for them, and a game that they need to win if they want to secure that 8th place. I'm curious on this game to see the front court battles. I know that the game maybe won't be decided there, but Milano tends to be very physical and has players able to do it, and against a player like Lasorte, I want to see who will win it and who will be on top of that battle. We see Partizan thriving many times when they are be able to have the ball running through their inside players and having them posting up and creating advantages to their outside players. And I think Milano's defensive strategy might give them some trouble. I just don't know if Milan will have enough offensive power on this game to be able to get the win.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Partizan is a better team offensively. But it is a home game for Milano. And maybe if Siobhan Shield gets back and plays, I think this could be a very good one. I might lean Partizan, but I think it's going to be a very good game.
Yeah, I'm also leaning Partizan on this one, and I'll probably pick them as favorites to get this victory. But let's continue, and the first day of round 28 ends in Madrid in a game between Spanish teams where Real will receive Valencia. Real will want to keep winning to secure the first place they currently hold, and to keep building on their five-game winning streak heading into this double header week. Last time these two clubs met, Real got the 7-point road win. Valencia comes into this doubleheader week on a bad momentum, having lost 3 out of their last 4 games and having a heavy loss in Vitoria on their last game, where they lost 114-75 against Baskonia. A surprising win for Valencia here could revamp their playoff aspirations. Do you think that they can do it?
I think they could do it. Obviously, it's very hard because Real Madrid has so many options and they're such a very good team. I think they could do it. Like, if they get up from 3, which we know they can because the way they move the ball and the shooters they have. But I just don't think it's likely to happen. I think Real Madrid is going to win this game. I think it could be a very good one, but I got to give the edge to Real Madrid.
For me, the only way that Valencia can win this one is if they are completely on fire from 3. And they managed to outscore Real. And I think that with Real Madrid's size on their wings and all of their talent, it will be extremely hard for Valencia to be able to do it.
I agree.
Let's continue, and let's now preview the second day of round 28 and the last 4 games of this round. We start with the exciting match between two teams that we expect to see in the playoffs, in Efes and Maccabi. This almost was named the equivalent matchup of the week, but we will get to that one later. Efes seems to be slowing, finding their rhythm, and they are now in 8th place with a 13 wins and 12 losses record with one game less, and won 3 out of their last 4 games heading into this doubleheader. Maccabi comes into this doubleheader week with in 9th place with 13 wins and 13 losses. And like we spoke in our preview of which teams are making it to the playoffs, we expect them to make it, having a favorable schedule the rest of the way. But for sure, they don't want and they can't trail too far behind from the playoff positions. And this is a spot where they might be catching another loss. In Tel Aviv, Maccabi won 80-72. Do you think that they can do it again?
I think they can, but I don't think they will. I think Efes is motivated to finish the season strong. Not knowing if Misic will be back yet or not, but I think they want to finish it strong. Shane Larkin has been playing pretty well. Will Clyburn has stepped up also. So, and like we've been saying all year, they've been in this position where they got to turn it up, like whether it's in the playoffs or at the end of some regular season. So they're ready for these moments, and I think they're going to get this win. I think it's going to be a very good game. Very entertaining, very close game, high scoring. But I think Efes is going to get the win in the end.
The only thing that I am wondering about here is about fatigue. we see many times in these situations where a star player goes down that we see the other players stepping up and playing better, and we have seen great performance from Larkin, from Clyburn, from Elijah Bryant, and I wonder in the this game being the second half of a doubleheader and with them being slightly shorter on their rotation, if there is an angle here for Maccabi that themselves just lost a player to be extra motivated and be able to surprise Efes. But I would as well favor Efes. The next game on the docket might be the game of round 28 with Fenerbahce welcoming Barcelona, with potentially two of the best rosters in the competition going at each other. This is a game for coaches to shine, and I expect it to be a great game to watch. Fenerbahce comes into this doubleheader in fourth place with a game less and a record of 16 wins and 9 losses, while Barcelona is third but tied in the win column with Real and Olympiacos, all with 18 wins. Real, with one game less, is currently in first place. Teams should be close to full force for this game. I absolutely love that. We probably will also have Dorsey being able to debut in this doubleheader week, and we expect him to have a somewhat limited role, but he's another piece for this puzzle, and it will be very intriguing to see what challenges Itudis and Sarunas will be presenting at each other on this game. When these two teams last played each other in Barcelona, back in February, we had a 1-point win for the home team, for Barcelona, with Fenerbahce coming back from a 13-point deficit in the fourth quarter, where they scored 31 points. What do you think we can expect this time around?
I think we can expect a very good game. I think these two teams, along with Olympiacos, are the three teams that play the best basketball in EuroLeague on both sides of the court. I think it's going to be very interesting, man. Like you said, Barcelona won at home. So I think Fenerbahce should win this game, but I'm going to stick to my gut. And like we talked about on the last episode, I picked Barcelona to win it all. And we discussed this matchup specifically. And I said that Barcelona would have the two best players on the floor in Satoransky and Mirotić. So I'm gonna stick to my word, and I'm going to pick Barcelona to win this game. But I think it's going to be a very good game. I think it could go either way. But yeah, I'm going to go Barcelona.
I hate that I am agreeing with you, because I really wanted to go against you on this one. I just think that Barcelona is playing very well. We have seen Fenerbahce playing very well as well. But Fenerbahce is incorporating two players in their... Well, Bielica has been with them the whole season, but he's getting back to play now. Dorsey is a new piece, and I think Barcelona having like better dynamics and being playing very well right now gives them some advantage in this particular matchup. Also, the fatigue thing that we were just speaking about, I think it might influence more Fenerbahce, with a player like Bielica recovering from injury. I don't know until what point he will be limited, and I think that Barcelona depth might also give them some edge here, and I'm favoring them to get this win as well. But it will be a must-watch game for sure, and a game that we and our listeners won't want to miss.
Next, I have a question for you.
Tell me, go ahead.
What game do you think is going to be a better game? Olympiacos versus Barcelona or Fenerbahce versus Barcelona?
Dramatic pause. I want to say Fenerbahce versus Barcelona, but I don't think so. I think this time it will be Olympiacos versus Barcelona, because we have Olympiacos wanting to bounce back, and I'm believing that they will come into this game with Barcelona with everything, and it will be a very high-level game. And since I don't see Jasikevičius pushing Barcelona too far and do their very best to get this win. Don't get me wrong, I'm certain that they want to win this win. I just don't see him changing his rotations and his ways in a regular season game. So I think Olympiacos will have a chance to compete for this game, and they will be extra motivated, more than I expect Barcelona to be. On the second hand of the doubleheader, I wonder about where teams will be, with like we just spoke, with Bielica coming out of injury, with Fenerbahce adding some new pieces to their puzzle. And while I think both will be very competitive, I am I am leaning Olympiacos to be the more interesting one and the more competitive one. Do you agree or you disagree with me?
I mean, kind of like pick your poison here, because
yeah,
it's such two great games to watch. I think I'm gonna agree with you. I don't like to agree with you, but I think I have to, because I think Olympiacos and Barcelona is going to be such an amazing game, and I can't wait to watch that matchup between Vezenkov and Mirotić. I think that's going to be the matchup of the week for me. So yeah, I'm also going to go with Olympiacos and Barcelona.
Yeah, and we have had this debate, and we are both in agreement that Satoransky and Mirotić might be the two best players in any given matchup in EuroLeague games. But yeah, I do think that Olympiacos actually have the best answers for them. And while they can still be the two best players in the game, I see Walkup and Sasha giving them trouble. And it's just a very intriguing matchup between those two teams as well, in a way. And I'm playing the motivational angle here, and that's why I think I'm leaning to that Olympiacos game to be the best one. But let's continue. And next game, it's a game that I expect to be very entertaining between Panathinaikos and Red Star. Red Star heading to this doubleheader is in 13th place with 11 wins and 15 losses. They need to get wins if they want to keep dreaming about making it to the playoffs. But Panathinaikos playing at home will certainly put up a fight, even if their playoff aspirations are crushed at this moment. They for sure are the type of team that will try to win each game that they play for, especially in front of their home crowd. Panathinaikos lost their last five games heading into this doubleheader, while Red Star lost six out of their seven games. Both teams are struggling at the moment. What side would you pick? I am predicting a very competitive one, and it's being hard for me to go against the home team here, but I know that Red Star is the team that have a higher motivation to win this game, and it's a game that they really need. Which side are you leaning to?
Yeah, I have to agree with you again. I think Red Star is going to come up with a sense of urgency because they really need it. They have to win games. They fall back way too much in these last games. And with Campazzo back, they are expected to start winning. And I think this is a good game for them, because I think they can have a favorable matchup against Panathinaikos. Panathinaikos also has small guards, so I think Red Star can adjust to that, and they're not gonna. It's not gonna be mismatches on that end, I don't think. And then they can go. They are a bigger team than Panathinaikos in terms of the front court. I think Petrushev, just like we said for Efes, if they can get Papagiannis in some type of foul trouble, I think they can dominate this game. So I'm expecting the win from Red Star. I think they got to push the pace now with Campazzo more than ever. And I think they're going to get a win. But it's obviously going to be very tough, because Panathinaikos at home is always a good team.
You're mentioning him, and I think that Papagiannis might give some trouble to Red Star front court on this game as well. So on the other side, while they need to go at him, and if they are able to take him out of the game, Panathinaikos will be in trouble. I also think that on the other side, Red Star might have some struggles to stop him.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, but Red Star has more options. You know, like Petrushev, Kuzmic, Bentil.
Hassan Martin as well.
Hassan Martin, yeah. They can just throw different bodies at him and make him work. And I just think that's where they have that advantage.
Yeah, it's the unbalanced between the both sides. Like, while I think Papagiannis can cause them trouble, they will have more options. They won't have problems if they go into foul trouble, because they don't lose that much if one of those players get into foul trouble. They are still able to compete and be competent inside of the court and in their offense with any of those players. So I do favor Red Star in that sense. But I just think that Panathinaikos will come into this game punching and wanting to get a win in front of their home crowd, especially after the recent news of the decrease of attendance in one of the best arenas of EuroLeague. They for sure will want to give the fans something to cheer for, and that's why it's hard for me to not to go against them on this game. But it will for sure be an interesting game to watch. And those will be the matchups I will also be tracking, and I'm also very intrigued about. Let's move on to the last game. Last, but certainly not least in points scored, Monaco will be visiting Baskonia. 7 against 5th, Baskonia with the best offense with 86.4 points per game, Monaco with 83.3 points per game scored, ranked 6th in offense in this edition of the EuroLeague. Last time around, Monaco won at home 79-74. Besides this being, or what I expect to be, a high-scoring game, what matchups will you be tracking on this mega Diogo Valente matchup of the round 28?
Every guard available in that game will be my matchup. No, but on a serious note, though, I think Mike James and Marcus Howard is the most expected matchup. And I think that has the potential to be the best matchup. If Mike James was playing the two and Jordan Lloyd at the one, I could pick Jordan Lloyd and Darius Thompson because I think they play more of a facilitating role while Mike James and Marcus Howard are scorers, even though they can facilitate. But either way, I think that's going to be very exciting, all of those guards. Both teams like to shoot. They like to play fast. I just think Monaco has a better chance at playing a good defensive game because even though they're not a great defensive team, they have some pieces that play very good defense, like John Brown, Moneke. So I think in the end, Monaco is able to have more consistency, and I think Monaco is going to win this game. But it's going to be very tough.
We know that these teams, in any given night, they can outscore anyone, and I won't be surprised if Baskonia wins. But I think this is one of those situations, and we were discussing this when we were ranking teams and speaking about who are the favorites. Monaco has a very good team, but their front court and their wings, they have good players. They are just not at the level of the top teams, those good players. But when you come down a level and you are speaking about the other teams below them in the standings, this is kind of the perfect situation. They will have probably the best player on the floor, and these other players that are good players, they will be as good or better than their opponents. I can see Montiunas dominating inside against Baskonia. John Brown can be an effective defensive presence against Baskonia. The wings, Diallo, even Moneke, can be. It will be an easier game for them against the Baskonia wings. I just think that Monaco is in between. They are clearly superior than these teams that are below them on the standings, but not quite at the level of the top teams. And I wonder if you agree with me on this.
I do. Earlier in the season, I was super high on Monaco, and I had them as a Final Four team.
And you had good reasons for that. They are playing very well.
But now, I think they had some losses that they shouldn't have, and they fell back. And I think that if they are not able to get home court advantage, I think it's going to be really hard for them to be able to make it to the Final Four. So we're going to have to see how that goes. But they're still a very good team, and they could beat anybody, but I just don't think they would be favorites against those other top four.
Yeah, having to play most of the playoff games on the road against Fenerbahce, Olympiacos, Barcelona, Real Madrid will be extremely hard for them. In all of those matchups, I don't think they have the enough it's hard to say for a team that, as good as Monaco, but I think they are a slight level below those. They are like one piece in their front court away from being able to actually compete there. But I think that they are slightly ahead of teams like Baskonia. I expect this to be a very good game, but I'm also favoring them. And I think it will be a very entertaining way and a very good way to end this doubleheader with a game that we expect to be a very high-scoring game. This was another European Hoops episode. Make sure you guys tune in Friday, where we will be recapping all the action of round 27, the games happening on Tuesday and Wednesday. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and follow us on Twitter at Itus EuroLeague. There we will be bringing you any news that break about the competition, our daily picks, must-watch games, injury reports, and our thread in the end of each day of the competition, bringing you all the highlights of the action. My name is Andre, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
Bye, guys. See you all next episode.